Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Get it.
For your lives.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
Nine ten, the fan, 105.1 FM, game day on the fan. What is up, MP on the mic? Glad to be with you from Kansas City, Kansas. We'll cross the state line into Missouri momentarily. So we get over to Arrowhead, get you ready. You'll hear it, Commanders Chiefs tonight, right here on your home for the Commanders in Richmond. 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Official pregame starts at 7 o'clock following an exhilarating edition, I would imagine, of Who's Talking. Three overtime victories for UVA this year. I want to talk about the completely insane Virginia Tech overtime Friday night as well. Blue Jays Dodgers knotted up at one apiece in the World Series. Football yesterday, we've had now back-to-back weeks with enormous comebacks. This time the New York Jets, even the owner doesn't believe in the quarterback, but he believes in himself, and he, I think, delivers the death blow to the Cincinnati Bengals season. Whatever hopes they might have clung to with Joe Flacco are out the window after that one, boot off their own field. After a loss to the Jets, Cowboys, Broncos, and Aaron Rodgers back home against the Packers. Lots to get to today, but we're going to start, of course, with Chiefs Commanders. We'll be having a lot of Chiefs Commanders talk all program long. As you know, I have doubled down and will now triple down today on my assertion. One, I love the Commanders plus 11.5 tonight, which is the number right now. I do. I think the Chiefs, J.P. Finley gave me the saying last night. He said, the Chiefs are going to play with their food. I said, I agree with you. I think that that's what they do. They don't have anything to prove. They beat the Raiders 31-0. They're back. I think this is a chance for the Commanders to regain a little of that culture that's been lost, to regain a little of that swagger that Dan Quinn's been working so hard to instill. I was up in Ashburn Friday checking in with everybody at the facility. We chatted with Terry McLaurin. He did a chat with some of the beat crew up there. We were in on that. We'll play that for you here in about half an hour as Terry McLaurin and Debo Samuel both return to the lineup tonight. No Jaden Daniels, as you know. By now, undoubtedly, Marcus Mariota will be the starter for the Commanders, waiting final word on Daron Payne this morning. We'll pass it along to you when we have it. We'll be with you until noon. That's when AWOD Radio takes over in a few minutes. First part of my conversation with Jalen Lane, the Hokies, punt returner for the Commanders, and the special teams have been a success story this season. So we'll play you that throughout today's show, including the first part here in a few minutes. All right, y'all, I know everybody loves stories from the road, so I'm just going to open with the bit. We had a good day yesterday on the road. Grant Paulson was here with me and Danny Rouye. I don't want to short shrift Danny. I always say Grant and I traveled together. This is why I always say Jeeps first. Grant and I traveled together when we were both on the Redskins beat in 2013, 2014, 2015, those years before he got a drive time radio program. And then I, you know, tried to make something of my life too by getting a 10 a.m. radio program. So Grant and I go way back. I love Danny as well. It was great hanging out with Danny yesterday as well. We went to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, which is an absolute must do in Kansas City when you're here. Bob Kendrick runs that museum and is one of the all-time good guys, and showed us around for a bit there. It's so cool. If you're ever in Kansas City, you definitely got to go see that. But we also are big fans of bits, as you know. And Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, you may have heard of them. They are famous. I think Kelce's more famous than Mahomes globally now, which is a wild thing to say. I think Patrick Mahomes is the most famous player in the NFL, full stop, right? Name the most famous NFL player, Look, there are going to be people who say Saquon Barkley. There's going to be people who, you know, Tom Brady, you know, it's still Tom Brady. Like, you know, the NBA people, I still talk about. Michael Jordan gave an interview during halftime the other day. It's all anybody talk about in the NBA, right? Name the most famous NBA player. Active player, it's LeBron. Steph Curry's second. You know, there's always going to be argument on these things. I think Patrick Mahomes is the most famous NFL player right now in the NFL. And I think Travis Kelce is more famous than Patrick Mahomes, despite also being an NFL player. I think you understand where I'm going with that. It's the Taylor Swift thing, obviously, but an important distinction to make nonetheless. They opened a restaurant about a month ago, apparently. This is all new to me here. They opened a restaurant a month ago in Kansas City. It's a steakhouse. Obviously, I had to go for the bit. And so first off, let's level here. It's a better bit if it's bad, right? Everybody understands that. If this place stinks, this is a good segment. So unfortunately, I must inform you, is a really good restaurant. They had live music. They had a jazz band. It was very classy. It was not cheap. Thank you, Odyssey. But it was very good. My steak was fantastic. The meal was very good. Everything was excellent inside the Patrick Mahomes Travis Kelce restaurant. All right, so there's that. By the way, you can't get a reservation there. So we just showed up outside the door like, can we eat? And they're like, yeah, come back at 10 p.m. So we ate at 10 p.m. It's a reasonable time to eat. We'll be up at 10 p.m. tonight watching football. So didn't faze me one bit. So the food was good. The atmosphere was good. Taylor Swift wasn't there to answer everybody's questions about the steakhouse. Number two, there is on the menu an item listed as the Patrick Mahomes ketchup flight, and it is $15. And so I lean into the bit. I think everybody knows that by now. I said, what's the deal with Patrick Mahomes ketchup flight? And the answer was Patrick Mahomes loves ketchup and just eats it with a spoon. I don't know how true this is. I can't vouch for the veracity. This is what the waitress says. She probably knows Patrick Mahomes. She works at his restaurant. He likes to just eat ketchup with a spoon, and so they have three house-made ketchups that you get for $15. I said, does it come with fries? And the answer was absolutely not. You just get the ketchups for the $15. So you get this sense of what we're dealing with here. So I ordered a steak and fries. That was $42. Steak and fries, I believe, was $42. And went the extra $15 for the Patrick Mahomes ketchup flight, because I am here for the bit. I also believe this. I think Heinz is the best ketchup anybody's ever made. And I don't think anybody's ever improved on Heinz. And like, you always have, was it Secret Sandwich Society had these like organic ketchups and the, you know, all these things. But I just don't think anybody's ever done better than Heinz. And so that's where I'm at on ketchup. So I'm curious to see this. It arrives. There are three ketchups. We'll post a picture online, of course, on our social media, so you can see the three ketchups. The first ketchup is a regular ketchup, and I'll give them this. It kind of tasted like Heinz, which is a big compliment, and also I paid $5 for this little shot glass of not Heinz ketchup that they had made back there, but it tasted good. Dip my fries in it. The second one was spicy ketchup. Now, there's a fast food chain here in the Midwest. It's predominantly associated with Texas called Whataburger. And Whataburger's, one of their famous things is they have spicy ketchup. Patrick Mahomes loves Whataburger. He's a Texas boy. And so he actually bought a Whataburger and brought it to Kansas City. He loves their spicy ketchup. I do know that for sure. I've never loved their spicy ketchup. I've actually never loved any spicy ketchup. Let me do this in a tap dancey way, because they are our sponsors and we love them. AWOT is at Capitol Ale House today, noon to 3. I love Capitol Ale House. They are the home of Richmond's OG Burger Night and Richmond's best Burger Night, and that's tonight, so you should go down there and eat a burger and watch the game. They have two ketchups. They have a regular ketchup and a spicy ketchup. I don't like their spicy ketchup. I just don't like spicy ketchup, period. I don't think ketchup was meant to be spicy. Tabasco spicy, sriracha spicy. I like all those things. AWOT a vouch for this. We go get wings. I get the hottest wings they have to offer usually. I love hot stuff. I don't think ketchup was meant to be spicy. So we have the Patrick Mahomes spicy ketchup here. It wasn't good. I'm sure it's fine to people who like spicy ketchup. I didn't like it. And the third one was the black truffle ketchup. They literally grated a black truffle on top of the ketchup. And look, For the bit, that's a 10 out of 10. That's an abs. The whole thing was a bit, which is why it kind of bugged me that the food was good, because the whole place was just a bit. They had a Taylor Swift themed cocktail. They set it on fire in front of you at the table. They had an Andy Reid themed cocktail. The whole thing was a bit, but it was also really well done, which was kind of annoying to me. So we had the ketchup flight. Gotta have the ketchup flight. had a lovely meal, watched some football. And if you know a lot of barbecue as well, I'll give you my barbecue thoughts later because we've taken enough time for food in this segment. And I want to get to Jalen Lane because Jalen Lane is a Hokie. Hokies with a double OT win over Cal. He's also the punt returner for the Commanders. He's having a great season. We chatted in the locker room in Ashburn on Friday afternoon, and I want to play that for you right now. All right, hanging out with Jalen Lane. Thanks for making a couple of minutes. Special teams this year, and not just you, Debo, Luke, everybody seems to really be performing at a high level. What's working so well for you guys?
I just think it's our intentionality with it. You know, we all care about it. We all know that we can change the game on special teams. So, you know, from returner standpoint to cover standpoint to blocking, like we all just really focus in on, you know, how we can help the team. And I think that intentionality helps us, you know, be successful.
Now, you made that leap to the NFL. What's the speed like? How have you adjusted to that?
I feel like, you know, by now we in week, what, 8, 9,
you're
whatever.
Ready.
Yeah, like, you know, I definitely felt the adjustment. But, you know, it is, you know, I feel like the margin for error, that's the biggest difference. It's not much margin for error in the league. You know, one false step or anything, it's hard to make up for that in the league. But I feel like I'm pretty adjusted now.
Take me back to taking one to the house. What was that like?
The feeling, it's almost unexplainable. It's just, you know, once I saw the lane and it was just me in the open field, it was like, man, just don't get caught. That was running through my head. Just don't get caught in the end zone. So, but it was a really cool feeling.
That's awesome. A big opportunity here against the Chiefs. Everybody knows them. You know, and you guys would be big underdogs, of course. But how do you view this opportunity? National TV, big game, big opponent.
I think, you know, it's just another championship week. That's our kind of mindset going into it. Obviously, we know they're a good opponent. But we never want to make our opponent too big or too small. So we just got to go in, attack, and play our game.
When you have a game like Dallas, how do you flush that as a team, knowing you've got a lot more football games?
I think the biggest thing we've done is just attack the week of practice. You know, we can either sit down and sulk, or we can just continue to move, knowing we still got 10 more games on the schedule. Everything we want still in front of us. So I feel like as a team, we just kind of attack this week and get ready for the Chiefs.
Tell me about your evolution as a wide receiver as well. You feeling more comfortable? Feeling, you know, how's that growth been?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely feel like from week one to week now, I've definitely had a lot of growth, and you know, I'm going to continue to grow. But that's a big thanks to the guys in the room, to Coach Ingram, you know, one for believing in me, but also just coaching me up every step of the way.
I know everybody here believes in Marcus. You've played with him already. Yeah. What's he bring to the table?
Yeah, you know, Marcus, he's a great leader, great guy, great character. But, you know, he's a baller. He's been balling for a long time. And, I'm excited to watch him on Monday.
That is the first part of our interview with Jalen Lane. He's a punt returner and receiver for the Washington Commanders and a Hokie. You remember him from Saturdays as well. We'll get back to that later in today's show. We're with you until noon. Of course, that's when AWOD Radio takes over. This has been, this is one of the more chaotic first segments of all time. We got a good Commanders segment in there. We got the Patrick Mahomes catch-up flight in there. I think that's pretty emblematic of what this show's about. I want to do keys to victory. I want to talk college football. I want to do a lot of things. But right now, we got to pay the bills. We're back after this. You're listening to the home of the Commanders in Richmond game day today. You're listening to 910 The Fan now at 105.1 FM. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app in Kansas City. Counting you down to Monday Night Football, Chiefs and the Commanders. Any given Sunday, folks, anything can happen in the NFL, which means then any given Monday, things can happen as well. If you want to give the Commanders reasons to win tonight, I think you'd start with the return of Terry McLaurin and Debo Samuel. After their absence, they'll be getting the ball from Marcus Mariota, but still game changers in their own way. Terry McLaurin's absence has been particularly interesting just because of all the drama that's accompanied it. We got a chance to chat with him on Friday in Ashburn, and he was upfront about a lot of what he's dealt with and a lot of what he's going through. And certainly there's always going to be, there's the conspiracy and there's the rational And both of them point to the holdout being a factor, right? The conspiracy theory of, oh, he's just not playing because he wants to stick it to the team after that contract negotiation, after that holdout where he didn't really get anything in the end, and he's salty about his contract, so he's not playing. Well, I reject that flat out. I don't think that's what's happening here, but there's the rational as well. And the rational suggests that Terry McLaurin didn't participate in off-season practices or in training camp practices and came back to the team right on the verge of that first game. And history tells us and statistics tell us that when you miss time, significant time, during training camp, and guys who hold out historically get injured at a higher rate. It's a violent game. It's an intense game. And when you miss that preseason opportunity, when you miss that ramp-up period, when you miss those workouts, it can hurt you on the back end, and it can hurt in terms of injuries when you get there. And I don't think that's unreasonable to suggest. The question now is, how do both sides move on after a disappointing start to the season and very much a disappointing start to Terry McLaurin's season? Gets injured against the Raiders, hasn't played since. He'll make his return tonight, Monday Night Football. It's the Commanders and the Chiefs. A reminder, pregame will start right here on The Fan at 7 o'clock, live from Kansas City. But, of course, we'll be here all day long talking to you, getting you ready for this showdown. AWOD Radio takes over. He's at Capital Ale House in Innsbruck. We'll connect for some crosstalk about 12:15 between the City of Fountains and the River City today. But Terry McLaurin chatted on Friday, and let's start with the health before we get to the introspection, because this is Terry McLaurin talking about when he started feeling right again in his rehab process. There was certainly some hope that last week would be the week, and these things are rarely straight line events. You think about Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, all the talk swirling around him as he's false started and gone back and is not on the injury report and is on the injury report. And we could dive into that later in the show, as well as a nice win for them and a loss for the Bears, that now Commanders are rooting for the Bears after the Monday night loss to them. I think just to validate that loss, maybe not rooting for them in the standings. It's tricky. It's all complicated, but these things aren't straight lines. Better, not better. Healthy, not healthy. And that's normal, and that's okay. Here's Terry McLaurin on when he started to feel right again.
It's tough because there's some days you have good days, some days you kind of have, like, not so good days, in my opinion. And I think what I tried to do is really focus on the progress that I was making. And I think for myself, just being a competitor, you want to feel like yourself right away. And so when I had my rehab, like, route session this past Monday, I did really, really well. And that's when I really felt 100% like myself. And, you know, I felt like Chad and, you know, our entire strength staff and medical staff looked after me, and, you know, they could tell it was me, like myself as well. So that's the tough part. Like, you know, there's some things that bother you and some things that necessarily don't, but when you're in that position, you just try to give it your all and trust what you feel and trust what they're telling you. So at the end of the day, it was, you know, in my hands, but at the same time, like, I just wanted to be myself out there, because I didn't want to put myself or this team in a position where I couldn't do everything that I'm expected to do in this offense and what I bring to the table.
That's Terry McLaurin on Friday. We chatted with him after practice in Ashburn, his second of three consecutive practices. He's fully off the injury report. Will play tonight against the Chiefs, although not a clean bill of health across the team. Daron Payne reporting with that toe injury. And there's conspiracy talk around that as well. Are they benching him in advance of the trade deadline, or is it an actual injury, right? You're always going to get that talk because it's, you know, especially, and, you know, we get to gambling every day, it feels like, it fuels those conspiracy theories for sure. But Terry McLaurin also talked about the psychological impact of missing this time after a very trying offseason, and here is what he had to say.
I learned gratitude. I've always had gratitude, but just, you know, when certain things don't go you know, your way or how you envision them or how you set out, I found myself not really trying to dwell on what I didn't have or, like, what wasn't going right. I have so many things to be grateful for, and I'm extremely a blessed individual. And so just really try to practice gratitude a lot, because those negative thoughts definitely come into your mind of just not feeling like yourself physically and emotionally sometimes. But that's, again, like, I've learned to continue to lean on the support that I have in my life. There's a lot of people who are there for me, and, you know, I'm the person that they come to a lot, you know what I mean? I'm the person that a lot of my teammates come to, and so to be able to kind of put that vulnerability out and allow people to help me and, you know, hey, I'm not doing that great today, or, yeah, this is a better day for me, you know what I mean? And just the resiliency that that life is about, you know what I mean? This won't be the last piece of adversity I go through in my entire life. And there's other people that are out there who are going through things as well. So I try not to put my focus on the negative, but try to really put my focus on trusting the process every single day, not trying to get too far ahead of myself, and trusting in God that He's going to continue to restore me and continue to put me in a position that allows me to grow. And I think anytime you go through adversity, anytime you go through struggle in life, it's for you to grow. And trials in life really set you up for the next breakthroughs and the next opportunities to not only give more of yourself for the people around you, to be a better version of yourself. So I'm really looking forward to just being back out there with my team and just having fun, you know what I mean? Just being present and trying to get this win.
That's Terry McLaurin chatting in Ashburn on Friday. He's back from injury for the first time since the Raiders game, and of course held out for most of training camp, which he referenced. It was a difficult time, and it was a difficult time for the team and his fans as well. And y'all know I'm not neutral in this issue. I'm very much Team Terry on this issue, that I thought they should have paid him, and I thought it would have been a good tone. We'll get to the brotherhood stuff. I've got a lot of brotherhood thoughts as well after spending a day in Ashburn. But, you know, the culture was such a big part of why they won last year. And nobody embodies culture like Terry McLaurin. Even in something simple like being asked that question, you just hear the thoughtfulness. You just hear him, you know, really providing that insight, which I don't think a ton of athletes do. And I love Terry, and I love hearing from him. So I'm not neutral in this at all. I'm quite biased. I love Terry McLaurin. I love what he brings to the team, but I appreciate that vulnerability. He had been the strong one. He had been the rock and the anchor on this team, and now he needs other people to be the rock and the anchor for him. And I think that's happening defensively too, with Bobby Wagner, who was the rock and the anchor of last year's team. And now he's working through his own battle with Father Time. Not an injury battle, but a battle nonetheless of grappling with losing a step. And it impacts these guys. And it's certainly a very real thing that they have to address, that they have to work through on a day-to-day basis. And so that's a big part of things as well. One more from Terry McLaurin and our chat with him on Friday. This is about where the team's at and where they need to go starting tonight against Kansas City Chiefs.
Obviously, you know, we've lost the last few games, and you know, not being out there and helping the team is what bothers me the most, just personally. But I do know we have a very resilient group that is going to be honed in on what we can do to improve going forward. And, you know, I think taking care of the football is obviously just at a premium, trying to create turnovers is a premium, and just getting a rhythm, you know what I mean? I think, you know, having fun out there, feeling the juice and the energy that making plays brings to a team, and I'm hoping that I can bring that this Monday. So you know, I try not to, I mean, honestly, like, I try not to be like, this is a problem or this is a problem, because, like, I have skin in the game, but I haven't been out there, you know what I mean? And so I'm part of this team. I've been as entrenched as I can while being away, but at the same time, like, my presence not being on the field, you know, is tough for me. And I'm just looking forward to put my best foot forward this week and really helping this team try to get a win. But I think what's great is, I know we have a group of individuals in there, coaches and players, who are not going to shy away from what we're facing right now. And you know, the season's not over. I think the biggest thing that I just noticed this week is nobody's hanging their heads. You know what I mean? Like, I've been on some tough teams, you know what I mean? And in the past. And, you know, I think this group is very resilient. And but it's about going out there and doing it, too. Like, you can say all the things. You can come up with any mantra. But I think the work that you put in is really going to be the determining factor going forward. So I know we're putting in the work. And you can just feel the energy in here that we're looking forward to going out there and competing on Monday.
They're putting the work in, and that's not the issue. But there are issues. There are talent issues, and there are availability issues. There are injury issues, and there's also coaching issues. There are a lot of issues, and we'll get to those. Great to hear from Terry McLaurin. So good to have him back. Of course, Deebo Samuel back as well. So we'll be excited to see all them tonight. Most Burgundy and Gold talk in town all day long. Official Commanders pregame starts at 7 o'clock with our guys Bram, London, and the rest of the crew. And of course, Fred Smoot's got you post game with the rest of that post game crew. And man, they got late night duty tonight. I'll be up late too. Won't be making radio late, but we'll be in the locker room. So you can go inside the locker room tomorrow when we are live. One more live from Kansas City show. We don't get on the plane until after the show. So JP's doing the 6 a.m. flight. JP wants it more than I do. The being home. I said, I'm going to do the show, then I'm going to play and go home. JP said, nice. He's going from the stadium to the airport, 6 a.m. flight out of Kansas City to make sure he's back in studio tomorrow. Now, they got a TV deal. I don't have a TV deal. They got a TV deal up there. More stories from the road, more shenanigans, more barbecue talk, plenty more breakdown, what the Commanders need to do to beat the Chiefs, and trip around the NFL. We'll crosstalk with AWOT as well. Lots to get to today. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Hour number two, loading from Kansas City. What is up? MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. It's game day for the Washington Commanders. Welcome aboard, everybody. Be with you until noon. AWOD Radio takes over then. We'll crosstalk around that time, get his thoughts on this matchup. He's been pessimistic all week. I've been optimistic all week. I think the Commanders put up a strong showing tonight. I think the Chiefs, to borrow my friend J.P. Finley's phrase, play with their food a little bit on their way they got Super Bowl ambitions. They got big games. This is no longer one of them. This was once a big game, and now it's not a big game. Will they play down to their opponent? Certainly, we've seen that in the past. We've also seen some resounding Chiefs wins in recent weeks. For the Commanders, an opportunity to get right defensively, I think we're all waiting to just see what are we going to see tonight out of this Commanders defense. Will there be personnel changes? Will Marshawn Lattimore suit up? Will Mike Sander still move outside? You've got a lot of possibilities. Is Bobby Wagner going to play 100% of the snaps still? Now, it's an eight-day rest between games, but he's fighting his battle with Father Time. He's very good at what he does. I don't mean to diminish that in any way. But I think it's pretty clear he's not a 100% of snaps guys anymore. Daron Payne waiting on word on his availability for tonight. Toe injury for Daron Payne is the word. AWOD Radio will keep you posted all the way up until 3 o'clock. We'll turn it over to our friends Grant and Danny. They are in Kansas City. They're not with me. They're down the road from me. They stayed downtown because they got a big fancy budget like that. I stayed out here in the burbs. That's all right. We'll throw it to them at 3 o'clock. They'll have some fun on their radio program, Who's Talking, for an hour at 6, followed by the official Washington Commanders pregame. Got to hang with Grant and Danny for a bit yesterday. That was a good time. And who am I kidding? I put the Patrick Mahomes catch-up on the company tab. If you missed that, grab the Odyssey app, grab the rewind button, slide back to the 10 o'clock hour. I ate really expensive catch-up. So thank you to all the listeners for continuing to fund this endeavor. Please know, your money is not going to waste. I feel like it'd be a good telethon item right there. It's save the kids and make sure MP gets to eat his ketchup as well. Lives good on the road. A lot of barbecue, too. Barbecue from Kansas City. I have an interesting barbecue observation here that may only interest like a small handful of people. So if it's not you, sorry. Burnt ends. I think everybody knows what burnt ends are by now, but you cook a big beef brisket, and the very end of the brisket, kind of you get extra seasoning, and in Kansas City, they cook it and kind of soak it in sauce. Texas barbecue, generally no sauce. Kansas City barbecue, I think a KC masterpiece, right? All those. It's a sauce-heavy barbecue, which isn't, there are no right or wrong here, just different styles. Virginia's a different style, too. North Carolina with the vinegar sauce. different styles. I'm not here to tell anybody how to live. But the burnt ends have become enormously popular in recent years. So much so, you know, like the chicken wings, right? There's a finite number of wings on a given chicken. Two is the number if you're keeping score at home. And it's not cost effective. You know, Hazel knows this. It's not cost effective to raise a chicken just for chicken wings. So the demand for chicken wings will always be somewhat untethered from the supply of chicken wings, right? Like, it used to be you could get chicken wings for 10 cents because more people wanted the white meat, the breast meat, than the wing meat. Now, you know, a few years ago, there was that surge in popularity for chicken wings. They're going for more than a dollar each, which is insane to me, but they're hot. So everybody's buying them. They can't make more. This is not a supply and demand situation. All right, so that's what we got going on with burnt ends here in Kansas City, because they're very, very popular right now. But dude, you're not going to make a whole brisket just to chop off the ends and waste the rest. So what places are doing, I was talking to somebody about this. I had my suspicions. I got them validated. What they're doing is they're cooking the whole brisket, and that fatty top layer on the brisket, which usually seasons the slice of brisket, they're cutting that and a little bit of meat off, and they're passing off regular brisket as a burnt end because it's still essentially the same product, a super fatty piece of meat soaked in sauce. That's fine for the burnt end lovers. And if you come to Kansas City and you get burnt ends, just know this, it doesn't actually matter if you get the authentic end or the fake ends because they do taste exactly the same and they're basically the exact same cut of meat. So nobody's getting cheated here on that end. On the other end, though, the sliced brisket end. Basically, I've been to three barbecue places now since I got here. Not to brag, a little flex, though. All of them, the brisket has been really lean and dry. And my suspicion was they were using the fatty part to make the burnt ends, and I had that confirmed. I'm not going to name names, but I had that confirmed by somebody who would know last night. So that's Kansas City barbecue right now. Get the burnt ends, you'll be happy. I think if you get the brisket right now in Kansas City, though, there's reason for saltiness. Now, you got a place like Oklahoma Joe's, which is one of the more famous ones here. They do the sandwich, the Z-Man. They take the sliced brisket, they put provolone on it, they put onion rings on it, they put it on a sandwich with sauce. People love it. People can't get enough of it because you've got the cheese, because you've got the sauce, because you've got the other elements of the sandwich. You're not going to notice as much. If anything, it's a little bit healthier. So again, there's no right, there's no wrong. It's just how you live. Cheesy corn appears to be a thing here at the moment. That was not a thing for me. I was unaware of growing up. But in addition to the mac and cheese, everybody's working a cheesy corn right now as well. I don't hate it. I had a really good one at Slaps Barbecue yesterday. Maybe we'll do a full barbecue report later in the week, because I still got one more day eating barbecue. I got to have lunch today. I got to have dinner today. I can only go to Patrick Mahomes' Steakhouse so many times on the company tab. Those are the rules. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app, coming off of a busy weekend in the world of sports. Let's tidy some things up here before we get back to Commander's Land. VCU basketball exhibition yesterday, and I'll let AWOD give us the full report during crosstalk today because I did not watch yesterday. 82-64 over Fairfield. We'll catch up on that on the flight home tomorrow. Tyrell Ward, 18 points. He's a junior. Next time we see the Rams, they will allegedly be playing Wagner. That's next Monday. That's 1 week from tonight. Wagner's, of course, had all those offseason problems. Hopefully they show up. Hopefully we have ourselves a basketball game. Be excited to be out at the Siegel Center next Monday night. So we got Monday night football tonight, Monday night basketball next Monday night, 7 o'clock against Wagner, opener at the Siegel Center. Good seats still available. I'll be excited to be out there. It'll be my first time seeing them in person this year. I know many of you are excited as well about VCU basketball. A lot of optimism around this season. Virginia Tech football beats Cal in double overtime. Insane game all the way around. Good on the Hokies. And I'm not going to belabor the point, but I'll say this. One coach could not win a one-score game to save his life. The interim coach now has won some one-score football games. I'm just saying, maybe coaching matters. Something to keep in mind as they fire up this coaching search. Just saying. Alabama, South Carolina. Shane Beamer, a lot of people are following him. that was not good by South Carolina, late game meltdown. I did not love, usually I love the let them score play. I didn't love the let them score play there because you're dealing with a college kicker, and college kickers are unpredictable. Tech's got one of the best ones. He misses the kick, right? That would have won the game in the fourth quarter. Ends up being fine. Cal misses their kick, too. But Shane Beamer lets them score on that play, and Alabama goes on to win. It feels like Bama's got a little mojo back. So many good teams in the SEC, though. LSU losing his mojo. They're chanting for Brian Kelly to be fired. Man, I would not want to be an SEC coach. I would love to be a fired SEC coach. That seems like a pretty good deal. The part where you're an active SEC coach feels a little bit rougher to me, man. They turn on you faster. He won a natty there. And I get that he's maybe underachieved a bit, but you're losing to a top five team in America. Whew, it's rough to be an SEC coach. That's all I got to say about that. Alex Ovechkin sitting on 899 goals. They celebrated him Saturday. He played in his 1,500th career NHL game. Incredible career. Incredible accomplishments. Kudos to Alex Ovechkin, who just keeps on trucking. They're back in action tomorrow night in Dallas. He'll go for goal number 900. 1,500 career games. He's climbing up the list. The most games one person has played with one franchise is Gordie Howe. He played 1,687 games in Detroit. Alex isn't going to get to that. That would be three more years. But he's in that pantheon. He's top 10 all time games played with a single franchise. By the way, Caps put out the list. Four of the eight most tenured players of all time played for the Detroit Red Wings. Nicholas Lidstrom, Gordie Howe, Steve Yzerman, and Alex Delvecchio, which is cool. That's a great franchise. A lot of history there, obviously. Ovechkin now number eight all-time, playing 1,500 games with the same franchise. Barring something crazy happening, he's going to retire a Washington Capital, and we'll celebrate. He's on the D.C. Mount Rushmore, and he might be number one on it. You could sure make a pretty compelling case that owning one of the most important records in one of the major American sports is a pretty good deal there. World Series back in action tonight. We're not doing a full formal baseball update, but if you like baseball, you have enjoyed this World Series, and I would recommend that you continue watching it tonight. Flip back and forth. We got Commanders as well. I will say this about the pitch clock. And I'm not going to complain about the pitch clock, and I'm not complaining about the pitch clock. I love it. There were innings that were five-minute innings while those pitchers were dealing. We get Max Scherzer tonight. I am not complaining about that, by the way. I love that. Max Scherzer tonight, maybe he will yell at the manager when they come to get him. That would be exciting. We had one other college basketball over the weekend. Virginia, 75-72 over Villanova in their exhibition game. That's good news for both teams. Good news for Ryan Odom getting a preseason win, looking good offensively. I think for VCU, it's a matter of when will the offense click and will it be in time for these big non-conference games. Game of the week, high school football edition this week. This isn't even a suspenseful card. It's Verina Highland Springs. It's the most important game of the year every year in Richmond. If you've never been a part of a Verina Highland Springs game, I would guess they're sold out of tickets, but you'll want to listen to that. It's just so fun when those two teams go at each other. Another vintage year for that rivalry, 7 o'clock Thursday night, right here on these very airways. But when we come back, we get back to the Commanders, who take on the Chiefs tonight. We are in Kansas City, doing the show today and tomorrow from the City of Fountains. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan now.
Yeah, be on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. And your home tonight for Washington Commanders football.
They'll take on the Kansas City Chiefs in primetime right here in Kansas City. We'll be at the game. We'll take you inside the locker room, win or lose, tomorrow morning. It was lose for me in the NFL Survivor Pool. This is the longest I've ever made it, so I'm kind of excited. I'm not mad about it, but I picked the Falcons, and they lost to the Dolphins. I was hanging out with my guy GP yesterday morning, Grant Paulson. You hear him on Grant and Danny. He was fired up to see a little Kirk Cousins. I don't think it went great
for him. I don't think it went great for Kirk. I don't think it went great for anybody associated with that operation. Watching that game, love being around, having the chance to watch the games. Miami went with a lot of the six offensive linemen look offensively, you know, which Washington, I'm not going to say they pioneered it or invented it, but I would say they use it more than any other NFL team right now. They've used it to good effect with Trent Scott. You know, when John Bates is in, he's largely a blocking tight end. They really pack that line, and it's paid off over the last couple of years for Jaden Daniels and the running backs, I would argue. I know there's some debate over the running back room right now, but on the whole, I think they've produced some good runs out of that look. Fascinating to see that spread. Fascinating to see Mike McDaniel adopt it. And as you know, I think if Cliff Kingsbury bounces this offseason, I think Mike McDaniel would be really high on my list of guys to replace him. He's also, he needs to go to the Dan Quinn School of Culture. I think that would be good for him here. And I think when Cliff leaves for a job, I think that'll be the number one thing he says coming out, as it was for Kyle Shanahan, who had to deal with ridiculously bad culture here when he was in Washington under his dad. That was not entirely his dad's fault, but was certainly a contributing factor. That was a mess. He goes to the Dan Quinn School of Good Culture, goes to San Francisco, and he's run a very nice operation there. And it just seems like all they do is win football games, even though the injuries keep piling up. They lose to the Texans yesterday, but they're 5-3. And the things they're doing with that roster are pretty remarkable. Mike McDaniel clearly knows the football side of things, right? Just like Kyle. But I think could use a trip to the Dan Quinn School of Culture. Dan Quinn also has a big test right now in the Dan Quinn School of Culture. And this is what I kind of wanted to share. And Awad and I talked about this a bit over the weekend. I said I had some things I wanted to share, some observations. The Commanders in the offseason redid their locker room, which was very, very needed. It was a terrible locker room. It was a high school caliber locker room. Any college would have looked at that and been like, no. But also, they have very real space limitations in Ashburn, right? And now you're looking towards the new stadium at RFK. You're not going to expand the footprint and buy land for a place you're maybe going to bail on in the next couple of years. So you've got that push and pull there. They've got a new locker room. It's spectacular. It's very nice. It's got state-of-the-art lockers. They've got a spot where they can put their pads and like a little machine like freshens them up so they don't smell bad next time they come in. It's pretty cool. And also, it's because of the way the building is set up, everybody's not looking at each other in the same room anymore. It's kind of segmented out. But don't mishear me that that's why they're losing. But I think a lot of the secret sauce last year for the Commanders was the culture. A lot of the secret sauce was that brotherhood, them fighting for each other, them believing they were going to win one score games, and then them winning one score games. Those are largely artifacts of last year. They have not been replicated this year. And I'm not saying it's the lockers, but I'm saying one factor could be it doesn't look like guys hang out like that in the locker room anymore or see each other as a team. It looks like you see your position group or your unit. And those little things can make a big difference, which Dan Quinn knows, of course, as somebody who oversaw an overhauling of the little things last year in Washington to great effect and to great success, I might add, as well. But every little thing, every action has a reaction. And it feels like it's not as homey as it used to be. Obviously, a lot of much-needed improvements, but also maybe a little less, that communication. And then you add in the Terry McLaurin holdout. And I know we talked about this at 10:30 when we played the Terry McLaurin interview. The Terry McLaurin holdout may have been a prudent fiscal strategy for the football team, a prudent fiscal strategy for Adam Peters, and may be a very good long-term decision if Terry drops off a cliff in production as he ages, which all guys do. It also, I believe, eroded at the culture. I think Terry was one of the number one culture guys on the team. He wasn't there during training camp, and he wasn't there because he was feuding with the team publicly. And guys see that and guys react to that. And I'm not, again, I'm not saying that's the exclusive reason they're not as good this year. But all these little chips and cracks at the facade, when you have something as delicate of an organism as an American football team with 53 players on it, these things all accumulate. And you're welcome to blame Terry if you want. I know Awad does. I know lots of you do. But also know this. You're dealing with this living, breathing thing that is a football team. And that decision, I believe, had impacts on the 53 and negative impacts on the 53, right? So another log on that fire. You throw on Bobby Wagner, who was an unquestioned leader last year, who is not playing up to his past standards this year. And he's still smart and he's still vocal. He's still a guy people look up to, but you earn a little less credibility to speak up, to make your voice heard when you're not making the plays out there as well. And so again, all these little cracks in the foundation, you know, throw in some Cliff Kingsbury potentially flirting with other jobs in December, which is, I believe, is going to happen. It's a very different vibe in Ashburn this year. How do you fix that? Winning. And how do you win? By fixing that. And that's Dan Quinn's job this week. And you know this, Dan Quinn, I was not thrilled with the hire when it was made, but this is the guy you want in the building right now fixing this. You've got a defense that has been largely subpar. You've got a defense that has not lived up to expectations, even modest expectations. And you've got a team that is not as tight-knit as it was last year. And you've had some moments here. You know, you're so aggressive last year. You play conservative in the first couple of games. You kind of go the other way. And there have been some moments where, you know, it's hard to pin down this team's identity. You got to reclaim all that. And I think that starts tonight, right? And Dan Quinn did the bit. He flew him out to L.A. early. He's got him hanging out. They're in Kansas City here tonight. They're not staying downtown where teams normally stay. They're staying out in the suburbs. He's doing everything he can to try to recreate that magic. Is it a fleeting thing? Is it something they're going to be able to recapture? I think this is the night where we learn if they're going to recapture it or not. And you know I think they win this football game tonight. I've said that. I know they're 11.5-point underdogs. There are a lot of compelling reasons to me that they win this football game tonight. I believe they will win this football game tonight. If they come close, I think you can build off of that, especially with Jaden presumably coming back on the other side. If they don't, I think this could be a rough season for a lot of guys, and we need to have a serious discussion about Daron Payne getting traded in front of the trade deadline, and we need to have a serious conversation about what it's going to take to build a roster long-term here that's suitable for Jaden Daniels and makes this team the perennial contender we know it can be, and how to maximize Jaden and his playing time, because that's very much a part of it as well. It's a lot of building blocks here, a lot of things to work through, a lot of things to deal with. That's where we're at right now, and that's where we're going to be at until they break through with a win. No better opportunity than tonight, and of course, you come back on the short week next week. Those are hard to do. You know that. We've seen that before, right? They play the Bears on Monday Night Football. Narrow loss. Not a loss that has aged well. You come back the next week, get waxed by the Cowboys. Monday night tonight, big game. But now you got to come back next weekend and play the Seahawks in primetime, right? So it's that game and then the quick turnaround. A win helps you win next week. A loss makes it even harder. We'll see which one happens. A reminder, official Commanders pregame starts at 7 o'clock tonight, but we got the most burgundy and gold talk in town. Until then, AWOD takes over in half an hour. Your friends Grant and Danny are just down the street from me. They're in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm in Kansas City, Kansas. This is one big happy family around here in the Midwest. We're back with more MP on the mic right after this. You are listening to Richmond's home of the Commanders, 910 The Fan.
MP now, on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM from Kansas City. Welcome aboard. It's Monday Night Football night. Commanders and the Chiefs tonight. You'll hear it. Official pregame starts at 7 o'clock right here on The Fan. Kickoff 8:15. We'll be there. We'll take you inside the locker room tomorrow morning. Part 2 of my interview with Jalen Lane momentarily. I want to get to one other thing on the Brian Kelly thing. Because we laugh. Like, what a good job getting fired as an SEC coach. It's good money. It feels like we're hitting a point here where the money is just somehow unsustainable and silly.
because it's not just Brian Kelly. There has now been, so we're in week 8 of the college football season, right? Week 9 of the college football season. There has now been $170 million spent on coach buyouts, paying college football coaches not to coach. You look at the jobs that are open, LSU, Penn State, there aren't enough qualified candidates for these jobs, which means whoever gets hired is going to get paid a ton of money. Lane Kiffin's going to name his price wherever he wants to go. There aren't enough coaches to go around. And I said this the other day, and I'll say it again. It's not a hot take, and it's, you know, I'm deflated more than anything by it. An institute of higher learning, a college in America, cannot ever justify paying somebody $53 million not to coach the football team. You just can't justify that, ever. It's not on mission. It's not on brand. It's not anything. And look, college is expensive now. College costs lots of money. And when the college spends $53 million, I don't care where it comes from. I don't care how they get it. I know it's funneled through donors. Something has to change and something has to happen. And add in NIL, and it's time to break away big-time college sports into their own companies, into their own institution. They just don't fit under the umbrella. SEC football doesn't fit under the umbrella of a college, of an institute of higher learning. It just doesn't anymore. $170 million paying coaches buyouts. And it's not going to change. It's not going to change anytime soon. And I know that. But it's tough to watch that in light of, you know, how much it costs to go to college, how much of a struggle it is for people to afford college. And then LSU's going to pay $53 million. And that's not a hot take, right? I'm not, you know, not ban football. People like football. People want football. There's a market for football. And LSU's a great football school, obviously. It's unsustainable, though. It feels unsustainable. Perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps it's been unsustainable for the last 100 years, and we'll just roll on for another 100 years that way. By the way, Brian Kelly's grave sin here. He lost to the number 3 team in the country. That's incredible. That is incredible SECing right there. Florida's doing that, too. They cycle through coaches, and I'm not saying the coaches they have are good. And look, I am not defending Brian Kelly, who is a bad hire from the get-go. But he loses to the number 3 team in the country, and you pay him $53 million to go away? That's insanity to me. You also look at, I mean, look at the riches that come when you win. And that'll tell you why people do it and why they cycle through coaches, because when you find the one, it becomes worth it. And as long as that incentive's there, it's going to keep being there. All right, it's Monday Night Football. Turn our attention to that. We chatted with Jalen Lane on Friday. He is the punt returner for the Commanders. He is a wide receiver as well. Probably won't get as many snaps tonight with Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel returning to the lineup, but we had a chance to chat with him about his season in the NFL so far. Here is part 2 of that conversation.
Take me back to taking one to the house. What was that like?
The feeling, it's almost unexplainable. It's just, you know, once I saw the lane and it was just me in the open field, it was like, man, just don't get caught. That was running through my head. Just don't get caught in the end zone. So, it was a really cool feeling.
That's awesome. A big opportunity here against the Chiefs. Everybody knows them. You guys would be big underdogs, of course, but how do you view this opportunity? National TV, big game, big opponent.
I think, you know, it's just another championship week. That's our kind of mindset going into it. Obviously, we know they're a good opponent, but we never want to make our opponent too big or too small. We just got to go in, attack, and play our game.
When you have a game like Dallas, how do you flush that as a team, knowing you've got a lot more football games?
The biggest thing we've done is just attack the week of practice. You know, we can either sit down and sulk, or we can just continue to move, knowing we still got 10 more games on the schedule. Everything we want still in front of us. So I feel like as a team, we just kind of attack this week and get ready for the Chiefs.
Tell me about your evolution as a wide receiver as well. You feeling more comfortable? Feeling, you know, how's that growth been?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely feel like from week 1 to week now, I've definitely had a lot of growth, and you know, I'm going to continue to grow. But it's a big thanks to the guys in the room, to Coach Ingram, you know, one for believing in me, but also just coaching me up every step of the way.
I know everybody here believes in Marcus. You've played with him already. Yeah. What's he bring to the table here?
Yeah, you know, Marcus, he's a great leader, great guy, great character, but, you know, he's a baller. He's been balling for a long time, and, yeah, I'm excited to watch him on Monday.
Awesome. Thanks. Good luck.
Appreciate you.
Jalen Lane will call his name tonight, hopefully. Hopefully the Chiefs have to punt. Certainly have seen games where they don't. I continue to love Commanders plus 11.5, which was 12.5 last week, which tells you I'm not the only person who loves it, which tells you nothing, because the Chiefs could still win by a lot tonight. But I feel good about this one. I like Cliff Kingsbury. I believe in Cliff Kingsbury. I like Debo. I like Terry. I think there's a lot of positive trend line up indicators for these guys this week. But, you know, it's a week-to-week league, and that's where I get my optimism from. They got waxed by the Cowboys. Cowboys got waxed yesterday by the Broncos, right? Cowboys didn't look like a contender. Bears didn't look like a contender yesterday. And yet, these guys have had wins against teams that have looked good as well. It's all about reclaiming that mojo, reclaiming that chemistry. We talked about that in hour number one. Grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. Aaron Rodgers did not become the fifth quarterback ever to defeat all 32 teams. Steelers did not look good at all in that second half. The Packers offense, we saw that on the Thursday night. That Packers offense gets running, gets humming. It's hard to slow them down. And then the offsides call that was missed as well. I think yesterday was a particularly bad day for NFL officiating, and capped by that in the Sunday night game where everybody sees it, the refs huddle, and they're like, yeah, we can't do anything about it. And look, we'll get into the tush push later, because I want to go to Conspiracy Corner when we talk about the tush push. It's very clear to me at this point, and you know I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I love talking about them, but I don't really believe most of them. I fully believe that Roger Goodell is throwing a pouty fit because they didn't ban the play, and he's allowing this stuff to happen. And he's, oh, I tried to ban it. Guess we have to ban it. You don't have to ban it. You could also just officiate it correctly, because that was not correct under any circumstance. That felt like Roger Goodell trying to get us mad so that we'll yell to ban the tush push. I'm not falling for it. I am not falling for it. I am mad at Roger Goodell for not officiating things properly, because that's not even the false starts where you can't look at replay to figure it out. That's when you can look at replay to figure it out, and they did look at replay to figure it out, and we all figured it out, and they didn't figure it out. And I'm not saying the games are rigged or tanked or anything like that. I'm saying they shouldn't be in bed with gambling companies, you know, on a game that's so dependent on officiating. What I'm saying is officiating in the NFL is bad. It has not kept pace with technology, with the time. Some of that is the owners trying to save a buck by not hiring the refs full time. It's unsustainable. There you go. We'll use it twice in one segment. We've got to get to crosstalk. We'll dial in Richmond. We'll dial in Innsbruck. Ray Wad's over at Capitol Ale House getting ready for this one. It's a burger night, Monday night football. Commanders and the Chiefs, they want to tell us all about that. On the other side, we're in Kansas City. One segment to go. Wrapping up the Monday edition. You're listening to MP on the Mic, 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.